We're ready.
Okay, this is a I'd like to call a meeting to order of the Industrial Development Authority of University City, Missouri. It is February 20th, 2024. We're calling the meeting to order at 9:03 a.m. And at this point, I'd like to take a roll call. Susan Armstrong,
Present.
Chris Blumenhorst,
Present.
Dorothy Davis, appears to be absent. Jeff Dobbs Law, appears to be absent. Cynthia Martin, Mark is absent. Siri Moran,
Present.
and James Novogratz is present. It appears that we do have a roll call. I know that there was an agenda distributed. So at this time, I would like if someone could make a motion to approve the agenda for today's meeting.
This is Susan Armstrong. I make motion to approve the agenda.
I'll second the motion.
Thank you. All in favor of approval of the agenda, please say aye.
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 Anyone opposed? The vote is for approval of the agenda. Our next item on today's agenda is the approval of the minutes of the IDA from May 16th, 2023.
This is Susan Armstrong. I move that we approve the agenda, the minutes from May 16, 2023.
I
I'll
second.
se
Oh, sorry.
No, go ahead, Siri.
I'll second.
All right. All in favor of approving the minutes of May 16, 2023, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Are there any nays? Then the minutes are approved from May 16, 2023. We're here today to consider a resolution determining the intent of the authority to issue its multi-family housing revenue bonds to finance the acquisition and rehabilitation of the Parkview Place apartments. And that is resolution number 2024-1. Have all board members received a copy of resolution 2024-01?
Yes.
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 Are there any comments by any of the board members as to this resolution?
I do have a question, and maybe it's more appropriate after SDG Housing gives their presentation. So I have a question. I can hold it.
All right, fair enough. Any other comments by our advisors or the public?
There are no additional questions from the public.
Okay. And are we going to have a presentation this morning from SDG?
And this is Bill Burns. I'm with Gilmore & Bell. We're bond counsel to the authority. I think from the SDG team, you have Kim, Juan, and Rick on. I know they provided slides last week. I don't know if Kim, if you're walking through those or if Juan is going to give the presentation.
Oh, I'll do it this morning.
Okay. Yeah. And just a little background, Jim, as you mentioned, this is just a resolution of intent. So this really establishes for the developer that they can go out and acquire the property now, and then they can come back later when their financing is ready, ask you to adopt an additional resolution that will authorize the issuance of bonds and then reimburse themselves for this initial acquisition cost from the proceeds of the bonds. So I think what they'll give you here is a good overview of the project, what the planned renovations are, what their financing plans are, and kind of get you as a board fully up to speed on the project going forward.
Great, thank you.
Juan, I don't know if you can share your screen or if.
Yeah. That work okay?
I'm good.
Yes.
I can see him.
Yes.
All right. My name is Lon Boer with SDG Housing Partners, and wanted to give you a understanding of our intents for Parkview Place Apartments. and a little background on our group. If everyone's okay, I'll go ahead and start.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, kind of an overview of the project. It is 156 senior apartments with 117 one-bedroom units, 39 studio units. It's a 100% HAP or Section 8 contract building. It was built in 1972, renovated in 2004, 14 stories, has two elevators. We are also in the process of trying to put it on the historic register. Financing of this project, the federal 4% LIHTC credits, and then federal historic tax credits. Right now we're at about $10 million worth of construction for the rehab, approximately $64,000 per unit. Our intent would be to start construction in the fourth quarter of 2024 and be complete by the fourth quarter of 2025. Ultimately, I mean, I know a lot of you reside around this property. I'm also sure you've seen several news articles. Parkview Place is currently in a bad state of disrepair. It is our opinion that almost the entire building needs to be rehabbed. To do this, we're requesting tax-exempt bonds. Our goals and our commitments, we would like to preserve the affordability. We believe there is a very strong need for affordable housing, both in University City and St. Louis City and County as well. We would like to renovate Parkview Place to fully address short and long-term maintenance needs with a minimal disturbance to tenants. And I can go into that a little further later. We would like to safeguard the historic significance of this property. We want it to add to the loop versus detract. We'd like to remain transparent with the University City, the state, federal government, public stakeholders. We're an open book with these projects. You know, our goal is to work as a team. We'd like to maintain and operate Parkview Place to create a legacy of high quality, affordable senior housing and ensure that on-site management remains committed to delivering essential social services to the senior residents. So kind of a brief overview of proposed renovations. General building upgrades, we would like to clean, tuck point, recalk as required, the exterior concrete panels. We'd like to remove that wonderful red stripe at the first floor. new LED lighting throughout the property. Full security, both for the site, building access, common area access, common areas. The elevators are original. We're thinking we're probably going to have to do a full rehab outside of the elevator shafts. So new cabs, life safety upgrades, you know, including the machine room, controls, etc. we are proposing new insulated windows at all of the existing units. We are also proposing new insulated storefront systems for the entire first floor. We'd like to refurbish the porte cochere, do a new roof with a 20-year warranty, and provide electrical system upgrades as required for current code. Regarding the site, it's a high rise, so obviously we have a smallish site, new site gates with pedestrian access, a new motorized gate for the parking lot. We would like to propose more dense landscaping around the property to soften the edges, resident gardens, a renovated outdoor gathering space with fire pit, barbecue, activity areas, and then upgrade the existing sidewalks and parking lot to full ADA compliance. In the common areas, we're proposing new ADA compliant mailboxes, kind of gathering, different gathering spaces, a game room where we have billiards or shuffleboard, a TV lounge area, new fitness, which would also have a yoga or Pilates room. We're proposing a library with new computer workstations for the residents. Currently, there is a commercial kitchen in the lower level. I believe when the building was first opened, they had kind of a cafeteria style food service. That is no longer the case. So we would like to create a community kitchen where the residents can utilize it for parties or cooking classes, et cetera. Later in the presentation, I'll show you a picture of one. We have this a very similar situation in Kansas City, Missouri. Oh, and a fair amount of residents do have dogs, so we'd like to set aside an area for dog walk station or dog wash stations in the lower level. Muted interiors, this is pretty much across the board. Energy efficient appliances, new window coverings, new door hardware, paint and flooring, new unit LED light fixtures, new plumbing fixtures, low flow shower heads, toilets for energy efficiency, new countertops and cabinets, new cultured marble countertops in the restrooms, new HVAC controls in the units with the T-stats with the large readouts. We would like to renovate or remodel 5% of the units for full ADA compliance, and then upgrade another 2% of the units for full audiovisual accessibility. In addition, we'd like to provide Wi-Fi throughout the units and the common areas that are free for the tenants. A little bit about us. Our goal is to preserve and redefine the standard of affordable housing. We care about our renovations. We do not believe in the idea of paint and carpet as considered a rehab. We're very in tune with the functionality of these properties and the needs of the tenants, and we try to address all of that. In addition, we also welcome input from the community because, as I mentioned at the beginning, we'd like to work as a team. We, between Rick Siebert, who's on this call, and myself, we've completed over 30 acquisition rehabs. Two that are close to home are located in Kansas City, Missouri, which is where I'm located. It was a 156 senior tower, very similar to Parkview. And then we did Columbus Park Plaza, which is another 56 unit, also located downtown Kansas City. A little background on Rick and myself. Rick founded SDG Housing Partners. Prior to that, he was CFO and a principal at Thomas Safran and Associates in Los Angeles. He pretty much was the final stop for over 2,000 residential unit rehabs of affordable housing. Rick is more the affordable housing background. My background, and actually, let me step back. He also has an architectural background, which I do as well, which I think is part of why we get so into the programmatic components of these properties and trying to solve solutions over time is in as how they evolve. My background is more architecture and construction. I am very well versed in historic rehabs, and I've been involved with a lot of the historic rehabilitation of buildings in downtown Kansas City, Missouri. So I think combined, we're a really good fit for this specific property and making it a success. This is one of the properties that I mentioned. This is Cathedral Square Towers in Kansas City. It's within the downtown loop. This is just, you know, the exterior. We tuck pointed, all new glazing. This is a interior common area. So to the left is an image of what was existing. To the right is that area after our rehab. And this is, as I mentioned before, the community kitchen. We have existing to the left. To the right is what we ended up doing. So actually to the right of this photo is where we have the resident services. So it functionally, it works very, very well if tenants are having a get together or a party. But we want tenants to use all of the common areas of the facility. This is the other project I mentioned in Kansas City. Columbus Park Plaza. This is just an image of the exterior where, you know, we cleaned the brick, tuck pointed, new windows, new HVAC covers, HVAC replacement. This is the, it's a much smaller building, but to the left's the previous common area. To the right is kind of a example of our computer workstations that we'd like to provide the tenants. This is a project that we did in La Puente, California. I really wanted to add this one just to speak to the level of renovation that we like to provide. To the left was an existing common laundry area, and to the right is that same location where we created a clubhouse with a gym, laundry, manager's apartment. Then this is the same project, just showing some of the rehabs that we did to the existing units. So we take pride in our properties. We want the tenants to take pride in the properties. And that's the presentation.
Who's the current owner of the property?
JES out of, I believe, Columbia, Missouri.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So you said you were, right, go ahead, Siri. This is Susan. I have a question also.
Yeah, well, my question is, it sounds wonderful. My only concern is because of the nature of the area, what works well for seniors and the amenities of common rooms, the studio, one bedroom stuff, what works well for seniors also works well for students. What guarantees are there that 10 years from now, 5 years from now, it doesn't get sold and turned over to either a private entity for students or to Washington University?
Okay, so part of our acquisition rehab is we will, upon the purchase, we will hold the property for 15 years as affordable senior housing. So they're really, and the goal is to keep it in perpetuity. There's no intent to transfer this over to student housing. I can speak to the 15 years that we will hold the property. I believe there is a mechanism where that can be continued over time.
Hey, Law, this is Rick. I'm sorry to interrupt. It's actually 55 years with the state of Missouri. It's a 55-year affordable senior covenant.
Okay.
That'll be recorded on the property. And the Section 8 contract with the federal government also it's a 25 or 30 year contract with the federal government that is restricted to 62 and older.
Okay. Thank you.
Absolutely.
The short term of senior affordability will be 20 years will be the shortest term that we are allowed to have. And that's by the HAP contract. And okay. So to Rick's point, the regulatory agreement will stick with the land use agreement. So the shortest term you're ever looking at here will be 20.
Okay. Thank you.
What's the current occupancy of the building? Do we know?
I would say we're over 95%. I think there are a couple down units just due to water damage.
Mm-hmm. And when you say falling into a state of disrepair, can you just
give you guys a began construction in fourth quarter 2024?
So let's see. Go ahead and ask. You can answer Susan's question.
Okay. Yes, that's our current goal.
And then my question is, what in state of disrepair? What does that mean? I guess.
Well, several items. They had. There was the water main break, mm-hmm. that flooded the building, and all the tenants were displaced. Then when they moved back in. The pipes had frozen while the building was down and a bunch of pipes burst. So several stacks of units were completely flooded out. And tenants were displaced again. There's some cause and effect there. What we're noticing as we're trying to get to closing, you know, the current owner has done insurance claims for a lot of this work, but we're not necessarily pleased with some of the work that's been complete. We still have concerns over a lot of the supply water lines. That's one instance. Another one, the elevators are original, 1972. Their lifespan without major rehab should be more like 20 years. So we fully expect a complete elevator rehab. The roof is past its life expectancy. As I mentioned, we want to replace it with a 20-year TPO cool roof, which is energy efficient. The windows are original. The storefront on the first floor is all original. There's no insulation, no insulating factor to these windows whatsoever. So you get pretty severe temperature swings, you know, even with the HVAC blower units in the individual units. Flooring, ceilings, a lot of those are past their useful life. Cabinetry, you typically can get, if it's a good quality cabinet, you can get 25 to 30 years life expectancy out of it. But that would put us back, based upon the age of the building, to 2020. The building's very tired. It's a lot of modernization.
Director Armstrong here, what's your plan to move these residents or to vacate the residents? What's your plan?
I'll use Kansas City as an example, or the high rise that I showed you in the presentation. What we did, once everything was in place, where we had our general contractor selected, the loan in place for construction, as we were waiting to start, if a unit went vacant, we would hold it. And our intent, especially with the senior communities, is to do an in-place rehab where the tenants do not have to leave the building. Let's say we set 8 units aside that open up. Those would be completely renovated, and then there would be a temporary relocation within the building to that unit while that tenant's unit's being renovated. So we try to minimize moving people around and, you know, keeping them somewhere that they know.
And we are regulated by MHDC and HUD for our relocation plan. Both agencies look at the plan, and with MHDC, they also will come in and inspect units before tenants are relocated from their current unit to a rehab unit as well. So we're not on our own without any oversight.
Yeah, I believe the same process was used at the Delcrest renovation when they have tore down and have, are rebuilding the new Del at Delcrest and Delmore. That's senior housing.
Yeah, the only tenants that will actually, if any tenants in a in place rehab have to be relocated, it's due to ADA need. And we will make sure that all costs to move that tenant out and move them back in are incurred by us. And that's specifically need-based. If there is no need for that, we'll do exactly what Juan said, where we have a rehab unit, move them in and out, minimal disturbance. We will get, the movers are responsible for everything. Dalmark Management also managed our other properties where we did senior in-place rehabs. So it's something we've done with them as well. And we moved through those pretty smoothly. And if there's any new questions, obviously throughout the process, we're always open to having discussions.
So you moved, you got 95% occupancy right now at the building. And you're going to 156 units, right? Is that correct? Am I got that correct?
Pardon me, you broke up at the very end of that.
Oh, I'm sorry. So is it a unit to unit ratio? So currently you have 156, in the future you have 156. Is that what's correct? The...
Yeah, we will not change the unit count.
Okay, thank you. Those are my questions.
Any other board members have any questions?
I have one more question, and it's just out of curiosity. What is the historic significance of this building? Why would it be, why are you seeking historic district status?
Well, we're not seeking district status. We're seeking individual registration for this building. There are a couple components. One is simply the age of the building and the building type. You know, this being a high rise multifamily property, you know, it's a specific building type in the evolution of the United States. So that's a major strong point. Another item is kind of the history of the building and the Jewish community to get together to sponsor the construction of this property. Actually, our historic preservationist, Elizabeth Rosen, her great aunt moved into this right when it opened. So she's very excited to be working on this.
I was just curious because I actually remember when it was built. And I'm starting to wonder if I should be part of historic preservation significance. But I do remember when it was built. So thank you. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, may I provide some background and inquire, City Attorney?
Yes, please.
Thank you. So by way of background on this building, the Land Clearance Redevelopment Authority of University City entered into a sale agreement in 1970 with the Parkview Housing Corporation for the construction of this. As you heard, it was constructed in 1972. And then in 2003, there was a redevelopment agreement entered into between the LCRA of University City and the Redevelopment Corporation associated with the developer to do a major rehab. As part of that agreement, there was tax abatement granted for a 10-year period to help finance with the rehabilitation. So that period, of course, has expired. And then since 2016, it's been on the tax rolls, the St. Louis County tax rolls. There, to my knowledge, there has been no significant work done there since that 2004 rehab, and the city certainly has had a number of concerns about the condition of the property, and the city council at a meeting on January 8th of this year expressed support for this project, and the following day the city manager provided a letter of support to the Housing Authority of St. Louis County, and so the city has expressed its support. Now, the record that I have, and maybe it needs to be updated, and this is based on the real estate information from St. Louis County, is the owner is Parkview Place Apartments LP. I heard that it was JES out of Columbia. Maybe there's a relationship there. The record owner, and perhaps the county hasn't updated the record, shows it as Parkview Place Apartments LP. The question I have to the developer is, the resolution asked the Industrial Development Authority to express an intent to issue revenue bonds in an aggregate principal amount not to exceed $19,125,500, whereas in the presentation materials on page 6 that were provided along with the council packet within the past week state that it's seeking revenue bonds not to exceed $23 million. So I'm hoping the developer could address the discrepancy in the numbers and confirm that that this resolution capping it at $19,125,500 on the principal is satisfactory and adequate for this particular project. Thank you.
Yeah, I noticed that typo as I was going through the slides.
I can
Kim,
speak,
you want
to
speak to that?
Yeah, so when we had the bond council draft their opinion, the $23 million not to exceed is based off of today's sources and uses in the financing world. $19,125 was the amount that we have based on today's interest rates and construction costs. We have not yet closed this acquisition. The current owner is the Parkview Place Apartments LP. We are seeking to buy this property. We have not closed on it, get tax credit allocation, get our financing in place, and not to exceed $23 million is a buffer between where we had to submit the application for bonds to when we have to close later this year. And so we are not, unfortunately, able to see what interest rates are going to be, know what construction costs will be. So there might be a discrepancy and a gap. And if we do not get bond cap that's higher than what we need in order to acquire and cover the renovation budget, then we are going to be left with a gap that we cannot fill. So typically in these bond transactions that we do, we always add a little bit of a buffer of not to exceed that's higher than what we have to submit in the application because they don't happen at the exact same time.
John, you're on mute, but
to be clear, $19,125,500 is the request for the Industrial Development Authority at this time.
Yep, and John, just to weigh in here, because there will be a second meeting, that amount can be superseded. This intent resolution is primarily for tax purposes, so that they can be reimbursed from bond proceeds in the future. They will be capped on that amount. They couldn't reimburse more than 19.125, but when we come back to authorize the bonds, it may be a higher amount at that time, which would supersede this amount.
Understood, and I wanted that clarification for the board's information.
Yeah. This is Rick again. I'm sorry to interrupt, but if we're able to get a larger, if interest rates go down, and we're able to get a larger loan for construction as a permanent, we'll do more construction. Our limiting factor is usually interest rates and how much sources we can have for construction. So if we would want more, just for more construction on property. Just want to clarify that too.
Okay. Anybody else want to add anything, advisors?
Direct, this is just a comment. Director Armstrong, we are commit. The Stormwater Commission is committing to requesting or encouraging more green spaces. So as you the architects develop it, and the outside area with the fire pit, please consider trees. While you're still in the planning, it's just my piece. Thanks so much, Jim, for allowing that moment.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. So do we want to go ahead and take a vote on resolution 2024 at this time, or are we going to do that at the next meeting?
I think we need to make a motion on the intent this meeting.
All right. Any directors available to make a motion to approve resolution 2024-01 as to intent?
Director Armstrong, I make a motion to approve resolution number 2024-01 on intent.
I'll second the motion.
All right, thank you. Let's take a vote then. All board members in favor of approving resolution 2024-01, please say aye.
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 Any nays? Therefore, the vote is in favor of approving the resolution today.
And maybe Mr. Burns, or can you tell the board what the next steps are in this and when they can expect to hear this, have this matter before them again?
Yeah, and really it will depend on kind of the construction contracts and the financing from the developer side. I would expect with a fourth quarter expected construction start that the development team is hoping all of this will come together in the fall. They would have, you know, they'd have a letter of intent. They'd have a tax equity investor at that time. They'd have a lender, some other form of financing on the debt side, all pulled together before we come back to you, because we'll really want the specifics of the financing done and documents drafted, substantially final forms before we come back to the board. So Kim or Lon, is that kind of generally accurate? You'd expect fall of this year to have that together?
Yes, we anticipate closing in Q3. So that will be our target, is Q3 closing, which we'll have all of our financing pulled together with the Q4 start. So
it honestly may even be late summer if you're really closing in Q3. It may be that we're, you know, we have everything together, asking the board for approval late summer, and then you close there soon thereafter.
Okay, so it sounds like we'll determine our next meeting at a later date depending upon all these factors coming in. Okay. All right. Is there any other business before the board this morning? Okay. We have a motion by a board member to adjourn the meeting.
I so move we adjourn the meeting.
I second. Armstrong second.
All in favor of adjournment, please say aye.
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 Aye. Any nay? The motion to adjourn the meeting is passed and carries unanimously. All right. Then I will sign this and send it to you, Keith.
Yes.
And then Chris has to also sign.
Yes.
So, okay. Keith, just send me a quick email when I need to come by and sign off.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay.
So we're adjourned at 9:42 for the record.
Yes.
Thank you all for your time today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye. Thanks.
Bye.